It is the collective consciousness of the divine feminine aspect of the all that is. In this capacity, we will bring forth some information that is very conducive to the transformational process that you are now engaged in. In the forefront stands Anna in the capacity of the matriarch, the wise woman, the wisdom holder. It is I, Anna. I am delighted to serve in this capacity. I represent the divine feminine, but understand this divine feminine capacity is not gender related to the gender of your body. It is related to the consciousness of your divinity. Each one of you have come into embodiment at this particular time of the evolution of Earth into its Christed format from which it was originally created by the source of all that is. As the Christed being that you are, you hold both the divine feminine and the divine masculine energetics within the spirit of who you are and who you were created to be. In this particular iteration of the divine image, you are called upon to heal the wounding of the fragmented masculine and feminine aspects of the human form that has been in existence since the great fall of consciousness. The fall was created in the physical realm, so it must be transformed in the same realm from which it was created. And you, beloved, as the divine iterations of the human, are charged with this duty. You have each taken on an embodiment to be the divinity that you are. This is your purpose. So many of you have been out there searching for a long time. What is my purpose in this life? What am I to be? What am I to do? You are to be what God created in you, what Source created in you, the divine image. And it is through the capacity of the divine feminine that you are fulfilling what you came here to do. The divine feminine has certain aspects that in the reality of third dimension do not exist, but you have moved past that third dimension into fourth dimension, where you have a reality where you know that you have free will, that you have choice, and that it is up to you to make those choices. So I have come this evening to discuss with you what limits you in these choices. By old programming, by wounding that has taken place, not just in this particular lifetime, but many, where you make choices according to that wounding, according to a belief system that makes you less than. How can something so beautiful, created in the image of the divine, be less than? It is so important in these times of change that you recognize this. You are that divine image, and as such, You are very valued. You are valuable. You are the next iteration of Christ consciousness. So as we move forward, what is it that limits you? It's the constant referencing to yourself as needing a savior. You do not need a savior. But it is helpful for you to have models in your present society as well as those who have come before you, such as Yeshua, who came to provide a different frequency, a different aspect of humans in form, to model a Christed imaging, to model to you who you were, who you are, nothing more, and to model that in love and compassion, love for self, compassion for all humans who struggle, just as you do. So in this wounding aspect, a great portion of that wounding has occurred by a power of dominance, dominance over, making others subservient or less than by what you say or what you do. True power comes, beloved, through consciousness, conscious awareness of who you are, not from a perspective of better than or less than. Better than and less than are two sides of the same coin, all stemming from a fallen ego. And so when you are tempted to think of yourself from either perspective, be aware, be conscious that this is the voice not of your spirit, but of your ego, which is attached to the fallen aspect of a human form, has no relationship whatsoever to you as that beautiful divine image. So it is up to you, when you hear such voices, to recognize from where they came and choose to make a different choice from the heart of who you are, that sacred heart that holds a consciousness sometimes a little out of the frequency range of your current awareness. But always, when you are discerning what you are thinking or what you are feeling or what you are hearing internally, you can always go to that sacred space and ask, is this true? And you will always receive an answer. If it is not in respect of that divinity of who you are, who you exemplify, the answer will always be no. Always it is that consciousness represents you in the divinity that you are. These are very auspicious times, especially currently. This is a time when the cosmic alignments are drawing you into a resurgence of an interior journey, an introspection of yourself. This in itself is very much an aspect of your divine feminine, where the wisdom of your spirit is engaged from that internal space, where the love of yourself, the love of who you are, is engaged, where the intuitiveness is engaged. Many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is also an aspect of the divine feminine, are engaged. The knowing, the ability to receive higher guidance from your soul, from your spirit, from the divine, you are quite capable of receiving these types of communications by engaging that divine feminine quality that lives within your sacred heart. And I encourage you to access that. I encourage you to be open and receptive as that divine entity that you are. And then, when you do that, what happens? A manifestation of that divine masculine quality comes into being, where that intuitiveness, where that love, where that awareness of self is engaged very directly, very precisely into a manifested state within your physical experience. It takes both the combination of both the divine masculine and the divine feminine that brings into conscious awareness of the true visibility of you from that divine perspective. The divine masculine can organize thought and direct it with precision into a manifested state of being. So it is not one or the other. It is the true aspect of you, the totality of you as divine, having both divine masculine and divine feminine qualities, regardless of the gender of your body. This is where unity consciousness begins to take place, where all aspects of you are unified into the glory of who you are and who you were created to be. As these alignments, cosmic alignments, are taking place, they support this transformational process. As the Lion's Gate opens in the next several days, opens wide, be very conscious of this. It's that Stargate of Sirius that becomes very close in alignment with Earth at this time of each year. Did you know that that Sirian Stargate holds a vast collective consciousness of your central sun that was split off at the final cataclysm and fall of consciousness and placed within the Sirian star system so that it could reflect back to Earth most radiantly at this time each year so that the Earth itself, Gaia, could remember herself as a divine planet, so that an environment of the Christed consciousness could be created to support the human consciousness. This is where you find yourself today, in that vast transformational process, bringing forth the unity of humans and Mother Earth, of humans and the divine. I would like to engage you now in a conversation, in taking your questions relating to this topic, which is so valuable for you to know and understand so that you can be in that state of consciousness consistently. So please now, let us have.
Remember, star 6, and of course, you know, the number 1. And here we go. Our first call this evening You're on with Anna. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you, Anna. You speak so beautifully. What I'm wondering about is I understand that the masculine and the feminine, that we embrace both, but here on Earth, we are either man or woman. And I am just seeing such a lack of compatibility with where women are, where the females are on this earth to where the males are in terms of companionship. And I'm wondering if you can comment on this.
Well, yes, I can. In that compassion is where you meet in the heart. One not dominant or better than, more intelligent than another, regardless of the gender of the body. Drop the gender of the body consciousness. It's irrelevant when it comes to relationship. The relationship is from the heart. In finding that common ground, what is the common ground for your intention of the relationship? This is the prime question. Be it interest in the physical, be it interest in the metaphysical. There has to be a common ground in any relationship, but it cannot be attained from a separated version of the divine, where either the masculine body type or the feminine body type has any type of dominant perspective involved. You cannot access the element of love until you go to the heart, and it's most easily accessed through compassion. Compassion of the struggles of that soul that happens to occupy either a gendered male body or a gendered female body. Each of those struggles are very real to that individual expression of the divine. And when you come to the heart, when you come with compassion for the struggles of that soul, not from any gendered perspective, but as a soul that is struggling just as you struggle at certain times in the life experience and the choices that have to be made at any particular time. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
This
I do.
Is where mm-hmm. the unity comes in. You are unified in that common ground, but you have to search through compassion, through the love that is in the heart, for that common ground. And it is through communication, through voicing. Only in the silence, holding back, where you cannot voice what you know in your heart, is there diversion in relationship. It has nothing to do with gender of the body, but it has to do with coming together and finding that common ground through communication, and be willing to open your mouth and speak what you know and speak from the heart.
Okay. So even though it seems from my perspective as if the male gender on Earth is, I don't know, they just seem more challenged, but you're saying that's just maybe from my female perspective, and that we all as people are just challenged.
Correct.
And that we all need to be, right, so I need to look at people as people and not as, here is a male, and so therefore they are more or less challenged.
Correct. They are just challenged in different ways, perhaps, than you are. But it has nothing to do with the gender of their body. It has to do with their programming, with their understanding of themselves.
Okay, and what about the differences of the brain, the female brain to the male brain? How does that come into play with this?
The brain functions neurologically by the stimulation in the neurology of thought. So if you are in a separated state of consciousness where you only can see yourself from one half of the equation of either feminine or masculine, you will have a belief system that you have created that is partial to the gendered separation of the body. And you will believe that your thoughts are different than the thoughts of the other gender of that of another body.
Mm-hmm.
This is not totally so. Because of the programming of the gendered body, you will see that perhaps the soul in that masculine body cannot speak what it knows from its heart for fear of being seen as a wimp or out of control or too emotional, which is not acceptable to that gender type of a body in this particular iteration.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, a soul that happens to be in a female body cannot be as assertive as is needed at any given time for fear of being seen as too aggressive or being angry. So you see, there are struggles that do relate to the belief system of a gendered body. And it is only when you can maintain a state of consciousness that you, as a soul, have both divine feminine and divine masculine qualities within you.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a changing of a belief system that is now occurring, and you're having the opportunity to see that. There is a great wave that came in your culture where the woman had to be assertive. The woman had to take positions of power. And this was true. There had to be a balance of the divine feminine and masculine within society. But it cannot, the individual soul in that female body cannot approach it from a dominant perspective. It has to be approached having a balance within itself and exhibiting that,
mm-hmm.
exhibiting the divine qualities of both divine feminine, divine masculine, having the intuitiveness, having the engaged ability to speak the truth, but also having the ability to organize and direct thought in a way that is very productive in manifesting a perfected outcome. This takes that balance that is within each one of you as that divine implement.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. It's a lot to think about.
Yes, it is.
I urge you to think about it.
I will.
You're next on with Anna. Hello.
Yes, that is a lot to think about. Thank you. And thank you for doing this for all of us today, all of you that have helped to do this. My question is, I don't know much about the Lion's Gate, but I know the 8-8 is an important date, and 8-11.
which is, I guess, the Lion's Gate. And I was wondering if you could help us to guide us through these times right now of doing that. And I guess I gleaned from the first, from your talk, that going through your heart. But I noticed a lot of light workers are really struggling with physical pain body issues that they never had that are coming up, and maybe they have to clear them so we can go through all this stuff to be compassionate, be in your heart, because it's hard to do that when you're in pain. And so if you could help guide us, that would be so wonderful.
The pain body is an implement of the ego, the fallen ego. There is a transformed ego that you are in the midst of creating. But the pain body can be a distraction. But yeah, it can also be a source to recognize what is currently being created at an unconscious level through consistent thoughts, through stress of those thoughts and those feelings that you are creating. And when they are consistent and they have thought again and again and again, they put stress on the physical body, which creates anomalies within the body. So you have to get to the root of what that consistent thought is, what emotion or what feeling is attached to it, and the stress that it puts on a particular organ or a particular part of the body. Mm. And when you can be conscious, more conscious, of what that particular part of the body represents, and the consistent thought of the pressure that it's putting on that part of the body, it can be a very, very beneficial source of conscious awareness. And then when you transform that thought and that feeling, you choose differently. You make a plan of how to recreate a thought that is more in alignment with your divinity. So there is no stress to the human body. There is no stress to you on any level. So this takes introspection. It takes making a plan. So when you arrive at the awareness of what the consistent thought and what the consistent feeling is, that you can say, I recognize that and I choose this. So you either create an affirmation, you create a feeling, dig within you to create that love of self, the value of self, and change that thought and that feeling to something that better represents you as the divine. The stress is relieved from the body, the tension in the body, and unity, a flow of unity, is resurrected within the body's function.
That makes absolute sense. It is. And once you change your perspective on it and see it differently and see it from an enlightened view, that whatever it is, it's not there or it's all good or whatever, you change your perspective and you change the outcome.
Correct.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now the Lion's Gate. What can you tell us about the Lion's Gate?
It is a cosmic alignment of the Sirian star system that holds, that now holds the consciousness, the spiritual consciousness of the central sun, which is the guiding force of human consciousness as the divine. The fall of consciousness, that was all in alignment when Earth operated from its divine perspective. That all was part of the complexity of Earth. So when the fall happened, a lot of things got fragmented. The mental-emotional body got fragmented. The consciousness was fragmented. And different parts of the consciousness of Earth were removed until Earth could resurrect itself back into that Christed state of consciousness. And the time is now. This has been happening for eons, where these alignments happen every year.
Yes.
And until the consciousness of humans were aware enough to recognize it and take advantage of it, when in close proximity from a cosmic level, you have more of an influx from that central sun consciousness, spirit consciousness, to be very beneficial to you. So to be just conscious and aware and open up your entire energetic system to the influx of that consciousness of light, streaming it in through the crown chakra, down into your body, and receiving it, gratefully receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a limited portion in the alignment. But during these various alignments, especially during this season of the various eclipses and solar and lunar eclipses, these are very energetically potent times to be quiet, go within, and receive.
Mm. Wow. Be quiet, go within, and receive. Are we at a place, humans, now enough of us where we could really open? It seems like there are enough of us here all around the world where we can transform it in the blink of an eye.
If that were so, it would have already been done.
I know.
The problem is that you come and go in that consciousness. You may be there for a time frame, but then something happens in your environment, something happens in a relationship, and you... So the more that you can practice, the more that you can go within and receive, the better chance you have of maintaining a stability in your consciousness. And this is an important factor, is the stableness of your consciousness.
Wow.
Not allowing it to waver. Always going to your heart and asking, is this true? And then realigning, readjusting.
Wow, those words are golden. Just keep going back into your heart and ask if this is true. Is this true? Be quiet. Be open.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you so much. Wow, that was an awesome answer. And I hope a million, trillion people are listening. If not right now, they'll hear it the next, hopefully, day or two. Well, thank you so much. I love you for doing this. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're next on with Anna. Hello.
You've answered my question almost totally with what to do and what is the Lionsgate. But how will we know that we've opened up and are connected to it?
You will know it in a flash. The crown is open. The heart is open. You are still and you are happy just being and receiving. That's all that is needed. It is that simple. Nothing to say, nothing to do, just receive and be.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
Hello, you're next on with Anna.
Hello, Anna. So my question is, with all the light coming in and the raising of my own and the collective vibration, I feel a great distance and sometimes complete separation from several family members, even my parents and my grown children. Can you comment on this?
It's not a separation, dear one. Let us reconfigure that belief. It is just a variance in their perspective and yours. You are a very wise being of light. And perhaps the struggles of life have limited your parents' perspective of things that you have been able to know and hold on to without so much struggle. So compassion is needed. Finding a common ground that you can communicate and love from. With your children, perhaps the busyness of their life and the factors of survival are their prime focus. Or they may believe, falsely I might add, that they have plenty of time to think about that when they grow old, not realizing that if they wait until they grow old, they will be tarnished in their perspective. So how to resolve this is your question. Here again, compassion for the struggles that brought them to the very present moment. And yes, understand that they don't see with your eyes because your eyes are wide open. But this does not change that you can't love them with all of your heart and find that common ground that you can find some semblance of relationship.
I think probably that would be the grandchildren, and it's perfect that you're here today. It would be my own grandchildren would be the common ground.
Would be the common ground. And the common ground is to be all that you are. It's not what you say or what you do so much. It's who you are and the way you present yourself each and every moment that you're with those beautiful souls who are coming into a world that needs representatives like you to show them the way. Just by being it, modeling it, and showing the love and compassion that you are capable of each and every moment that you're with them. Encourage them. Encourage them to be all that they can be. The beautiful beings of light that can create without limit. This is your job. Not to discipline, but to encourage good behavior. Behavior that enhances their divinity.
Sometimes I think the children are the only ones that see. Mm-hmm.
Of course they do. And it's people like you, beings like you, who are in their life that continually model that lest they forget it.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes because the lives that they've been born into sometimes aren't, you know, don't facilitate that. And it's hard for me to watch.
To watch, yes, it is.
Yeah.
But being in relationship, here again, finding that common ground to be who you are and to encourage them to see things differently.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. It was so nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
Hello, you're on with Anna.
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hey.
Hi, sorry I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Yeah. For many years, I've been learning and experiencing in the fifth dimension, and it's been wonderful. But I've come to a point where I feel a real passion to create something, create a story that will help other people to turn towards the fifth dimension, people who are searching for something and they don't know what they're searching for.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've been working very hard creating and bringing numbers and proof into it to help them because people here like proof. And I just wanted to know, I find it very frustrating, though, to bring it from the fifth dimension into the fourth dimension, into reality. And I wondered if I could get some help with that.
Of course. First of all, in order to bring it from one dimension into a denser format, you have to make it applicable in that format. What is applicable in a fifth or sixth dimension is not always applicable at a fourth dimensional level.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make it applicable at that particular iteration. And so that has to be done in a story. Can't be too complicated. It has to be simple.
Right.
And it has to be a story about life, about experiencing life.
Right.
And the challenges of that. However, what you can do in the midst of those challenges to create something quite wonderful. And it will take a little imagination and a little vision, a little going within to put yourself back into that place when you operated in a more dense iteration. This is where you begin. And when you do that, it becomes very real and very easy for people to understand and receive your message. I go back to when Yeshua, my grandson, walked the earth. He did so in the complicated consciousness in which he navigated so easily. People who were not educated, people who were searching, and there were throngs. He spoke in stories, easy stories for those individuals to understand and then try to replicate in their life. So too, it is with this story that you will tell. And when you tell it, it'll be a profound experience because it is so real. And you will tell more than one story. This will be the first of many. It will appeal to certain groups of individuals, some to adults, some to children, some to teenagers. So there is a great benefit here to what you are designing and creating. And I encourage you to do this and be very conscious of where you're directing your message and to who and at what level of consciousness the message must go so it can be used and accepted.
Yes, that's what I've been hoping to do, to reach a wide variety of people and that it will help them go from their worldly point of view to a more godly point of view and have more spiritualism in their life. But I do know that from the scientific community that I come from, that proof is always required. That beliefs and words always require some sort of proof, and that is what I'm having the harder part time, is to bring that proof into this world.
Well, you have to bring it into the level in which it can be heard.
Mm-hmm.
This is your challenge. So you cannot discuss physics at a PhD level to a class of first graders.
Exactly. So I am doing it at a lower level. That is one that younger kids can speak. I was mostly aiming for teenagers. They're the ones who are asking the most questions and seeing the most lost, looking for direction.
Yeah.
And so that was my aim. But I found that numbers are very important for people in four dimension. And I'm trying to bring the numbers into reality here to provide proof. But I seem to need help with that.
In your creation...
There was divine help for me to do that.
There is divine help. So go within, sit quietly, Mm-hmm. Ask for that assistance and stay out of your rational mind. I know you come from a scientific community,
mm-hmm.
but there has to be a flexibility here to move out of the numbers into the relationship of what those numbers represent
mm-hmm.
in the earthly experience. Because the bottom line here is, how is that benefit me, and how does that benefit my life? And the numbers alone will not tell them that. So you have to move out of the numbers into the benefit, and then how it is substantiated by the numbers and reflected then in the day-to-day life.
Right.
So when you are creating,
mm-hmm.
always spend quiet time listening, asking for guidance, and then just writing whatever comes into your mind, and allow that greater influence to take hold of that pen as you write. Do not have any preconceived notions of what it has to be, but just be open to a conversation that might occur or suggestions that might be given.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
Well, I'm so happy to talk to you.
You're very welcome.
Hello, you're next on with Anna.
Hello, Anna. Thank you for being with us today.
You are very welcome.
I have many questions. I could definitely tell that there is a more open, expansive energy coming in just from the way I feel and just from everyone's questions and your answers. It just feels very clear. My biggest question is, you spoke about purpose in your opening and how if we're here at this point, this is our purpose, and I get that. I'm very clear about that. Where I often feel a little bit lost is our life's work, the more specifics of how we carry out that purpose. I feel not so clear on that part. And from listening to you, it sounds like that purpose is more of the feminine, and perhaps the life's work and specificness is where the divine masculine comes in. Is that correct?
Yes. To a degree, but
okay.
Both are present in both perspectives. It's a unified
gotcha.
Expression of you in the unity of who you are as the divine. So it's in your experience. You cannot give what you do not hold within you. So it's in your quest to establish that unity within yourself and a more conscious awareness. And then you can transmit it, whether it be in writing, teaching, art of some sort, but you must hold that within you. You must be aware of it. You must be conscious of it. So the first step is in establishing that within yourself and that conscious awareness in that unified perspective of you.
What does the transformed ego look like? Because I'm very aware of where it's wounded, and that's definitely coming up personally and in our society. And I could see it coming up to be healed. What does it look like when it's healed? Like, where are we going?
When it is healed, it takes its proper position to protect the body from danger. Don't step off the curb. There's a bus coming.
Mm.
Don't walk here. Or don't go into this water, it is too deep. Mm-hmm. That is where the ego is positioned. It has no voice to tell you who you are or the value of who you are. That is the voice and the duty of your soul spirit. Mm. Your soul has gained a lot of wisdom over many iterations, a lot of knowing, a lot of states of consciousness, and your spirit is pure divine essence. So the healed ego does not interfere with any of those perspectives, the value, the sacredness of who you are as a soul spirit. It only alerts you when there is danger to the body, which is your vehicle for navigating on a physical planet. That's its only job. And anything outside of that is from the fallen ego.
Got it. Is the fallen ego equal to the rational mind? Like, what role does the rational mind play in the fifth dimension?
The rational mind has to put everything in boxes. It has to have a reason. It has to have a proof of some sort. It has to figure things out. The rational mind cannot understand divine consciousness. It doesn't have the capacity to process such complexities.
Thank you.
So there is a piece here that you have to understand. The rational mind, in order to be silenced, has to be satisfied. So it's like a little child. You give it just enough so that it doesn't question any longer and will be silent as your soul and your divine mind takes precedence in your awareness.
That makes perfect sense. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
You're next on with Anna.
Hi, Anna. You almost really just answered my question. That was a great question from the previous caller. But when we opened the conversation earlier, you were speaking about just what limits us from doing our work, some maybe old programming, and I've been doing really well. I don't have too many struggles in my life, but I noticed just in this last week just things coming up that I guess still need work that kind of make me doubt, you know, what my job is and what I'm really doing, and it's just things like people maybe not seeing you for who you are or just not even including you or just feeling left out. And that feeling of, you know, you don't fit in, still letting that get in my way. And I wonder if you could speak about that. Perhaps other people may experience something similar.
Yeah. First of all, as you know, you're well aware of this, self-doubt is a most destructive tool of the fallen ego. Secondly, relationships, as you grow in your consciousness, will change, where you cannot find a common ground in that relationship. It doesn't have to end badly. It's just that you go on your way and make new relationships where there is a common ground in the state of consciousness. The other part of that is something that has been closed off both in the masculine and the feminine iterations, but is never closed off in the divine expression of the divine feminine or the divine masculine, and that is the voice, to speak what is needed in the moment without harshness or aggressiveness, but with certainty. And to speak your truth when needed. No one can make you feel less than. Only you can do that.
Right. No, I understand. And it's just, I guess that's what I was saying. It's just a trigger that seems like it has come up. So I guess there's a little bit more work to be done around that. But I understand it.
And it's
not
the use of the voice. Work on the throat chakra, merging your will with divine will to be that divine entity and to speak when needed.
Yes. And And I guess also when things aren't meant to be or things are just as they are, to not be in resistance and, as you say, just move on without any feelings of, you know, despair, if you know.
Yes, and that's hard to do sometimes. When you're feeling, you are hurt. You
right.
are wounded by that person's actions. But it does not define you.
Right.
Acknowledge the feeling, allow it, and then move on.
Sure. That's as simple as that. Thank you. You make it sound so easy, and I know it is. You just sometimes lose sight of, I guess, the just how to put it in perspective, I guess, keeping it in perspective.
Yeah.
So.
And when you're in that hurt of being excluded, you have to allow it. You cannot change that.
Right.
It is what it is. Allow the feeling. And when the feeling dissipates, allow it to be gone. Do not resurrect it by remembering it. It's done. Move on.
Right. Okay. This is good. Thank you. That's really very helpful. I'm most grateful, and it's lovely to talk to you.
You are very welcome, beloved.
You're next on with Anna.
Hello, Anna.
Hello.
Such a joy to have you here and connect with you in this way. In this beautiful journey of remembering our divinity,
yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm having a lot of fun. I have a question regarding when I spend time with my partner. We're creating extremely extraordinary, beautiful experiences together. It feels to me they are an offering to Earth and humanity. When I play my flute, when I sing, I just tap into this immense love, and everything feels like an offering. As I remember, more magical things are happening. And so lately, when I'm engaged with my partner, again, we're having very exquisite experiences, then I just don't understand, and I don't try to understand them. I just let them be. And again, they feel like a great offering. And I'm also having these beautiful visions. Again, when I'm engaged with my partner, now having these beautiful visions of my love for Earth and when Earth was created. I mean, just things that they're just so incredible and so hard to believe. So I'm very grateful for those experiences. I honor them. And can you just help me understand what we're tapping into and if it's helping?
It is when two individuals come together and create the joy of life in that relationship, not needing anything in that relationship other than to be the fullness of that relationship. You do not need your partner to complete you. You are complete unto yourself, and your partner does not need you to complete them. But when you come together in the wholeness of who you each are and share that wholeness unrestricted in love, then the joy of life is manifested. Do you see?
Yes.
Yes. And that's what you are experiencing. How beautiful.
So it is, as I receive this joy, it is an offering back. It really is. It nourishes me, and then I send that nourishment back. It feels like this flow. It's beautiful.
Yes. And
yes.
Vice versa.
And vice versa. Yes.
And so the joy is manifested.
Mm.
The love is manifested in the purity of from which it is created.
And the visions I'm having, they are true.
Of course. Of course. They are visions of love, of life.
They are a great, great gift. They are a great gift. They're helping me remember more, and I even cry. But, it's very special. Very, very special. I'm very, very grateful.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
I am delighted to be of service. I am delighted to be in the conscious awareness of humanity in a more viable perspective. Well, beloveds, this has been a delightful conversation, and I am so happy with all of your comments and your questions that open further my presence here to communicate to you from a perspective of your divinity, so that you might be aware and you might grow in the beauty of who you are, because you are such beautiful emanations of the divine energy. So I thank you for receiving me and being open. So we will now close our meeting this evening. And I am with you. Know I am with you, heart to heart, soul to soul. And together will we create the beauty of each of our iterations on earth, in all the realms of creation. Blessings, beloveds. Blessings.